I know of another restaurant that features local food and sustainable practices, so my wife Marion and I are driving across the river to Groveland. We've stopped at the Charlotte Hotel to speak with Aaron, who is the chef and owner of
Fork and Love Restaurant.
How long have you been here, Aaron? You're in the hotel. You come right in the front door of the old historic Charlotte Hotel, turn to the left and remodeled this place with natural wood and wood tables. How long have you been open here?
The restaurant has been operating as Fork and Love now for the last 2.5 years, give or take a couple months. So, that's how long I've been here. The restaurant itself has been here in operation pretty much since the existence of the hotel in 1921. It's changed hands a couple times. Doug and Jen, the owners of the hotel, are actually the ones that did the remodeling in here and made it look so pretty, which is awesome. Is a huge facelift for the restaurant, and that happened about 3.5 years ago.
Where did you train or where did you work before you opened here?
Before I took this over, kind of working backwards, my last job, my last 4 years of life was spent in Monterey County. I worked for a place called the Janini Wine Bar and Grill in Pacific Grove. I worked for the Intercontinental, the Sea Restaurant in Cannery Row. I opened up the Alvarado Street Brewery, and I worked there for a year and some change. That was a really amazing experience. The opportunity to get to open a restaurant from the ground up like that, from building and picking equipment that goes into certain holes, is pretty amazing. And then the last place I was working before I actually took this over was a place called Michael's Catering, and I did that for about a year and a half or so, and it was just a lot of outsourced catering, pick up and go, and it's a lot of fun. We did a lot of fun, interesting stuff. Worked for a lot of big names. We worked for like Ferrari, Lamborghini, stuff like that. I've been around California a little while.
How did you come to be in Tuolumne County and Groveland?
My wife grew up down in Sonora. We moved here from San Diego 7 years ago, almost eight. I initially took a job when I was working as the chef at Evergreen Lodge, just up the hill a little bit. Then we left and we went to Monterey for 4 years, and we came back after her and I came up here for her birthday. I proposed her at the top of Half Dome, and then we came in here and had dinner, and Doug and Jen asked if I wanted to run my own restaurant.
Oh, that's nice. What's your menu focus?
What I tell everybody is it's a contemporary American-style cuisine with an ethos in European techniques and a focus on, obviously, being locally sourced products as much as possible, and sustainably sourced products, and just kind of utilizing 100% of anything that's possible. And then from there, we just let our imagination take over, and we try to have some whimsical nature to the food that we create, so it's a little fun, a little different, but it's still familiar.
What is your source for the local food that you do use?
It depends on what specifically we're talking about. So on the produce level, I use Outer Isle, which is in Douglas Flat, for a handful of stuff, as well as there is a company that is only a few years old. It's called Veritable Vegetable. It's out of San Francisco, and it's the only produce company that I'm aware of that is 100% sustainable. They have solar panels on the roof. All of their delivery trucks are biodiesel, and they only source from medium and small-scale farms from here to the Central Valley, like around Salinas area. So we get a lot of stuff through them, which is an amazing company. It's an amazing place, like amazing people to work with. It's fun and interesting on the fact that we don't always get what we want.
That's a major problem with locally sourced food, is that there's an issue with delivery, and there's also an issue with consistency. How do you get around the fact that not everything is available all year round?
Well, that's kind of the easier part of the question. We focus on seasonality, so tomatoes aren't in season, we don't have tomatoes, things of that nature. We really just focus directly on the larger seasons, and then from there, like what we would consider to be a micro season. So inside of summer, right, we have probably about two to three different parts of the summer growing season where things come into availability and then they disappear. A good example of that currently is figs. Figs are a two-season thing. You get them in the summer and you get them in the fall. And the summer crop, what usually ends up happening is they pop up for about 2 or 3 weeks and then they disappear and then they'll come back in July and they'll be a little bit more full tilt and we'll have more availability. That's really the big step. And then the availability of certain products shifts on a weekly basis. Sometimes they don't have things that I want, and so that just causes us to make changes on our end.
So you have the flexibility to change your menu, maybe even week to week.
Yes, we do that. I mean, that, and it's probably more difficult for our client base to cope with it than it is for us. And we're pretty good. I have a really good team that works here with us. And coincidentally, I think only two of my current staff members are not former chefs. So there's a lot of knowledge and the ability to work with those chefs very quickly and fluidly, which is nice. I would say it's probably more difficult for our clientele to come in 1 week and then next week the menu is 60% different because the farm ran out of broccolini and they, you know, we just can't get it anymore for another 3 weeks.
I think people are more and more accustomed to that and appreciate the reasons why that happens. You're right on Main Street in Groveland. Who are your clients? Obviously local people. What would you say is the percentage of local people to tourists?
We probably have about 20% local population that comes in here, and then the rest is all tourist-based. We open up in March, and we close in November. We're not open through the heart of the winter months because the population of Groveland goes down drastically, and it seems like up here, once we get that cold, everyone kind of shuts their doors, and they don't really go out, and it's tough. I mean, ideally, I would like to be open all year round, and we have some things in town that we're working on doing that, but when all of the other businesses are shutting down, I mean, it puts you at a disadvantage to try and stay open.
Do you have a source for local meat?
We do. That's the thing that I'm still trying to work some kinks out of. Chicken's the easiest one. We use Mary's Chicken, which Mary's Chicken Farm has been around for probably about, as far as I know, it's been around for at least 9 to 10 years. They do an incredible job. It's a pretty large-scale chicken farm. Their animals are humanely treated. They're organic fed, and they do what's called an air chilling process. So the slaughtering of the animal is in a humane way, and the way that they treat it going through the process to packaging is amazing. That's where we get our chicken, and it's a California-based company. So it's in Petaluma, so it's not that far away, which is nice. And then the beef, I've been working on this for a while, and we just haven't gotten it all the way through, but I've been working with the people from Rawhide Meat Company and getting into a system that we can purchase through them for our beef, but so we're pretty close. But so currently, like, our beef and our pork come from outside of the state. We get Painted Hills beef or Niemeyer Ranch beef, which one's in Idaho and the other one's in Oregon. And then we get all of our pork comes from Snake River Farms, which is an amazing operation. They've been around for a really long time. They sell some beef, but mostly we use their pork for them, and they do an amazing job. And on the pork front, I mean, there's a friend of mine owns a pig and goat farm up here in Groveland, and they are 100% like small-scale farm. Their animals are loved on a daily basis. I mean, you can walk out there and scratch the pig and he'll roll over and wants you to like scratch his belly like a dog, which is pretty amazing. We've done a lot of work together, just kind of the books just for like him and I. We've done a couple different like dinners out at the farm that, you know, are like a true farm to fork dinner where we slaughter the pig the night before the dinner, and then about 15 minutes before we're cooking the vegetables, we went and pulled them out of the ground. Those couple experiences have been really, really eye-opening and just amazing to be a part of. Him and I are working together to create a way for me to be able to purchase his pork going through the right avenues, you know, through the FDA and things like that, because currently it's not like we can't go out there and harvest an animal ourselves and turn around and sell it. That's you know, they look down upon that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an issue for everyone in the county is keeping up with regulations. You mentioned goat. Have you served a goat dish in the restaurant?
Not here. I've served goat in other places. When I worked at the Evergreen, I had a couple of Jamaicans that worked for me, and they always wanted me to find and purchase goat so we could have goat curries. I've done it before. I've served goat in a couple restaurants. We served some goat out at the farm a couple times. Just hasn't made it through the doors here yet. But we do a lot of work with wild game as well here. It's not currently on our menu. We just kind of haven't gotten into it this year, but we're about to fringe back in there. And I've been working with a company called Broken Arrow Ranch, and I've been working with them for probably about 10 years. They have boar, quail, antelope, elk, and a few different species of deer, and they just run on 100,000 acres, and they probably don't ever see a fence in their life.
What would you say is the most difficult part of operating a restaurant with your philosophy of sustainability?
The most difficult part really is finding a consistent source of protein. Vegetables are fairly easy to track down, and availability is pretty solid. But finding a local source of protein is the most difficult thing, because a lot of the time when you get to that smaller scale farm, you can't pick a cut of meat and roll with that cut of meat for 4 or 5 months, you know, however long you want to run your New York strip steak, because they only are harvesting so many animals so often, and that one animal only has two of everything. That's probably the most difficult part. That coupled with space constrictions, I would love more than anything to, and I've been working on it for a long time, of trying to set up a situation of purchasing half animals from people and letting them hang in our cooler, and we decide how we break them down and what we do with it. We don't have the space here in this operation to do that, so that would be the hardest part.
You're open at 6 this evening?
Yep, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. are the hours of operation from Wednesday to Sunday currently. We will do that through August, and then from September, October, November, we go back to 5:30 to 9.
If Marion and I drive up the hill, spend the day up there, and then come back down through town at 6 o'clock, we could come in for supper.
Absolutely. Right now we have some fun, interesting things. We just made a couple changes to the menu last night. We have been working on a version of butter chicken for a little while, which is something I've wanted to cook for a really long time in a restaurant. It came out pretty good, so I'm excited about that.
It was nice to talk with you.
Yeah.
Nice to see you and the lovely restaurant here. It's a great place to come, and hopefully people from Sonora will drive over here and have supper someday.
Yeah, thank you.